Morning, everyone. I want to also, in addition to what with Reverend Dion said, just thank the visuals group for doing so much to help to bring the sanctuary into this Advent season. Along with all that you see here, the tree and the beautiful arrangement here around us, the stole that I'm wearing and the stoles that the choir are wearing are all coming out of that same spirit, Pam Ikigami and Sani Mayakawa and Marianne Tata. So grateful and thankful for all of the ways that your spirit fills this sanctuary as we begin the season of Advent. I just want to begin with a brief word about Reverend Ed. When I was a young seminarian in California, we would have these Japanese caucus gatherings, and I would come to them. And I was in my 20s. I think I was in my late 20s, and Ed was one of the Nisei pastors who were still very active. They were around in their 50s, I think. And we would gather together, and I have to acknowledge that I was a little intimidated because I was thinking to myself, you know, how could I sit with these people? These are people who are running the Japanese caucus, United Methodist Churches, and I would be really very quiet, surprising you all. I was very quiet and sat in the corner. I didn't do a whole lot. And they introduced me to him as Reverend Ed, and immediately I felt that sense of awe and respect because I just knew that this was the generation of pastors who was making my entrance into the Japanese American United Methodist Church possible. But then when I would see them together, standing with each other, it was always interesting to watch them interact with each other. Bishop Sano and Lloyd Wake and Ed and Wes Yamaka, they'd be standing together. And the thing that surprised me was they called him Eddie. And I had never heard him called Eddie before by anyone. But it was the kind of spirit that he was. You know, in lots of ways, just a very open and very generous and very warm person. When he called your name, you just felt that it was coming from his heart. When he would laugh, he would fill the room. Just a joyful, joyful man. When I was one of my early annual conferences here in the Pacific Northwest, I didn't know anybody. I was walking in as a stranger, and so, of course, I had to try to stick with somebody I knew. So I stuck with Reverend Ed for a little while. So we entered into the annual conference, and I tell you, it was like I was walking with a celebrity. We kept stopping over and over again because people would stop Ed to say hello. People from churches that he had served, from the Vancouver district where he served. He was someone that just he just engendered such love. People just loved him. And wherever we went, people would stop him to greet him and to say hello and to thank him. And he was just that kind of person. And one story that Betty shared with me at the, when we were talking about Ed that was so warmed my heart. When Ed started having memory difficulty as he had his stroke and started to struggle a little bit with memory, it really pained him that he didn't remember people's names. For Ed, remembering people's names was a really, really important thing. And as he grew older, it pained him to not be able to remember people when they'd come up and say, "You married us," or "You did my father's funeral." And it pained him to not be able to remember because he's such a people person. And the thing that was really interesting is near the end, Betty told me that when she told him he was going to come to Blaine, she would say, "Well, you remember Sani Mayakawa, right? You remember Marianne Todd?" And he would say, "Oh, yeah, I remember. You remember Derek?" And, yeah, I remember Derek. And he would get the directory out, and he would look through the directory and study it before he came to church because he wanted to try to remember as many names as he possibly could. That was the kind of man that Ed was. I think to all of you who were a part of this church when Ed served here, I didn't serve here in this annual conference until after Ed was retired, but just such a blessing to be able to share in the short portion of time that we had together. When I came on staff, it just seemed to be appropriate thing for us to bring Ed on as Pastor Emeritus. And he blessed our congregation with visitations in his last years of ministry. And he was a blessing to our staff and just a blessing to be around. And so grateful and thankful for Ed's life and for all of the ways that he was a blessing to this congregation. We are in the season of Advent, first Sunday of Advent, and as we prepare our hearts, we find ourselves, as the choral anthem suggested to all of us this morning, it's a time of waiting and preparation, it's a time of prayer, it's a time for us to place our hope in the one who comes in Jesus Christ. And so in the season of Advent, we spend some time in the darkness waiting for the light to come. We are also in the ending portions of our sermon series called How Does Your Garden Grow? Growing the Ministry of Blaine Memorial United Methodist Church. And in many ways, the themes that we've been going through and how I'm closing it today, they resonate with this theme of waiting and watching, but also in being a season of hope, finding a way to be hopeful. The passage itself is written from the Gospel of St. Mark. It's written as Jesus is giving one of his last discourses to his disciples, and he is trying to prepare them for what is to come, that he is going to be crucified. They're living at a time when the Roman government's oppression over them is keeping them from living full lives, and they feel a sense of despair and hopelessness, and they're looking for something to give them a sense of hope. For the disciples, they were being told that their friend and master, the one that they came to believe in as God's son and the one who was going to usher in the reign of God, he acknowledged at that moment that he was going to leave them, and so they felt a sense of darkness and despair in that. And so they were looking for a sign of hope. And Jesus uses a gardening metaphor here in the Gospel of Mark 2. He says, just look at the fig tree. When the branches get tender and the leaves start to come, it's a sign that summer is coming. And there will be signs that will tell you that you can continue to hope that the reign of God will establish itself here amongst you now. As we hear those words, we are reminded in the season of Advent that that resonates with our own experience, because we can resonate with the idea that we are looking for signs of hope in a time that feels deeply creating in us a sense of deep despair. All we need to do is look at our newspapers, read the internet, watch television, and it's clear to us that we feel like we are in a time where the darkness is beginning to cover over us. Nuclear war is closer than it's been in many, many years. As we see North Korea shooting rockets over the peninsula there. As we hear about ways in which both sides posturing at each other make us very fearful that someone can press a button and cause disaster that will change the very shape of this country and this world. This last week, we saw a tax bill coming through our government and realized that we don't really even know what's in the tax bill yet because of the way that it's been processed through government. And yet, we recognize that some of what we are hearing reminds us that those who are poor and marginalized are getting pushed aside once again. And wonder what will happen to our country as we create greater division in our world. All we need to look at our newspaper and see anti-Muslim retweets that remind us that there is a spirit that's creating violence and anger and hatred all around us. And we wonder, when will it stop? We look at all of the signs around us and they point us to a time of darkness. And we wonder when there will be a sign that will come. And so in the season of Advent, we place ourselves in the same place with Jesus and his disciples. We place ourselves at the same time as the writing of the Gospel of St. Mark and realize that we too feel that sense of despair and darkness and wonder, will there be a sign of hope? We want to see that fig tree show us a leaf that reminds us that there is something for us to hope in, that something will come to turn this world around. But I want to phrase the question in a different direction and hope that it will help us to think about this in a different way. While we sit in silence and wait and watch for a sign of hope, knowing that they're very difficult to find, the question that I would ask you is, while we are waiting for a sign of hope to come to us, can we be a sign of hope to others? As much as we want to receive that gift of a sign of hope from God that reminds us that how things are is not how they are intended to be, the question also can flip around in the other direction is, maybe it is that in a time like this, we are to be that sign of hope for someone else. I remember when I was a young pastor in Southern California, I had a knock on the door at the church, and a young man who I didn't recognize came to the door, and we began to talk. He said, "Can I talk to you?" And I said, "Sure, come on in." So he came into my office, and we started talking. He said, "You know, Reverend, I just don't like myself. I just feel horrible about who I am. And he began to tell me his story about his life, and he was talking about ways that he felt a sense of despair, and he said, you know, I just need somebody to tell me that I'm okay. I need somebody to tell me that I'm an okay person, and I'm wondering if you can help me with that. But it was very difficult because I didn't know him, and I didn't know if I said something, if it would sound, you know, pretentious, or it wouldn't, you know, somehow wouldn't connect to his experience. I didn't know him, and so I sent the conversation off in a different direction. I said, you know, I think sometimes the things that we are looking for, we're sometimes looking in the wrong place. And I wonder if your sense of finding self-esteem is not trying to find it from within, that somehow you might look at yourself and feel better about who you are. Maybe it is if you were to go out and help somebody else, that would help you to feel better about yourself. Go and volunteer someplace where people have great needs. If you'd like to volunteer, I offered this to him at the church. I said, if you would like to volunteer here at this church, I will find something for you to do so that you might find yourself in the presence of people who can support you and embrace you as a person. I think sometimes we look for it inside, and maybe it is that we can find it as we offer ourselves to others rather than seek to receive it from others. And he looked at me with a very quizzical eye. I don't think it was what he wanted to hear. He walked out of the church. I never saw him again. I don't know if my words made any impact. But it made me think about this time and season, that while we might be looking for signs of hope, maybe it is that we're intended to be a sign of hope for someone else. As we have been talking in our sermon series called How Does Your Garden Grow? Growing the Ministry of Blaine Memorial, that is, in essence, what I have been seeking to get us to do together, and that is to recognize that as we work together as a community, as we garden together, I use this gardening metaphor, but as I shared with all of us, as we are able to see ourselves as co-laborers in the vineyard that is called Blaine Memorial United Methodist Church, as we find ourselves weeding and digging and planting and nurturing and seeing fruit coming from these branches, that what we come to understand is that is how we understand ministry here in this church as well. As we work together as a community, ultimately what we are trying to do is be that sign of hope. This entire sermon series over all of these weeks has been a constant invitation to you to join together with all of us so that we might labor in this vineyard and bring forth a fruit that would be a sign of hope for someone else. In reality, we look at our ministry over this last year and we realize that has been ultimately the goal of what we try to do here in this place. When we worship together, when we fellowship together, when we study together, when we sing together, we seek to be a community that offers a sense of hope to each other and to our wider body by the way that we participate together. But we recognize that it's more than just that. We seek to be a sign of hope outside the walls of this building and into our community, and find ways to be that beacon of light for others to receive. Over this last weekend, just through Thanksgiving time, we sought to be a sign of hope for the women and families of Mary's Place. We sought to do so at Kimball School, not only to provide meals during the holidays, but also to encourage you to sit with a child and offer yourself as a tutor. Not because we're great at teaching reading to a child, but because we want the children at Kimball to know that someone from the church cares about them, so that we might be a sign of hope for them. Over this last year, we have sought to be a sign of hope for ACRS through its food bank and through its ministry, through its work with the Southeast Asian community, as we've offered building space for them to come to be able to use our building to do classes in native caregiver classes in native languages so that they can learn how to care for each other in their communities. Throughout this year, we have sought to be that kind of beacon of light and hope for others, because we realize that ultimately that's what this ministry is all about. We are doing this not just for ourselves, but so that we might be a sign of hope for each other, absolutely, but for our world, absolutely, and find ourselves finding that hope that we might be seeking and how we offer that hope to someone else. And so throughout these last few weeks of the sermon series, it's been a constant invitation for you to be a co-laborer with us in this vineyard. And over the next couple of weeks, we're asking you to consider ways that you might look to 2018 and increase that sense of how you might participate with us in this ability to be a sign of hope for others. How can you offer your time? How can you offer your talents? How can you offer your financial resources as we look to 2018 so that we as a church might continue to be a sign of hope for others? It is a challenge for us to think about, but it's a powerful and important metaphor as we think about it, especially in this Advent season. If we are waiting and watching, maybe it is in that waiting period instead we will find ourselves being a sign of hope to someone else. This next week, you're going to receive a brochure that's going to look like this. I'm going to show you what the brochure looks like. And in that brochure, it's going to be an invitation to you to be a co-laborer for us, with us, in this vineyard. And to be that kind of sign of hope. So that we might find in, I don't know, can you guys run the pictures? Are they running? That we might find that as this brochure comes to you this next week, that it's going to invite you to join together with us to be co-laborers in this vineyard called Blaine Memorial United Methodist Church. And in so doing, know that what we share together, it will bless our world. In this brochure, you're going to see testimonies from lay people. You're going to hear about where we are as a church and what our vision is for the future. You're going to be encouraged to find a new way to make a commitment to this ministry so that as we look to 2018, we will find that we can be that sign of hope. Our challenge for us in this season of Advent is to hear the words of Jesus to his disciples and hear them as something that we are then called to do and to be rather than just to wait to happen to us. That we might find instead that we would hear the call as it fills us in our lives and it would say, what can I do to be that sign of hope for another? How can I work together with my church to be able to make that church and its ministry fruitful so that others might be able to taste that sweet fruit and know that it is intended to be a sign of hope that Christ comes into their midst and it is a time for us to experience the fullness of what it is to be in a relationship with Christ, to know Christ's love, to feel a sense that Christ is present amongst us. And what we want the world to know, what we want our children to know, what we want to be able to say that we know as well here in this place, is that in the midst of this world that seems to be so chaotic and so confusing and so creating such despair in us, that there is a place like this church that says to the world, the way that the world is right now is not the way that the world is intended to be. At a time when we live in a me-first culture, there is a place where someone proclaims a different message, that there is no me without we. Until we think as community, there is no we, there is no me. That what we recognize is that we want to be a church that continues to say that there is a place that speaks for people who have no voice and who find themselves on the margins of society. There are people who stand up and say that we are going to be a sign of hope for them and speak for them to be a sign of hope for the world. And in that come to discover that in being that kind of sign of hope that we are forerunners as John the Baptist, that we are the ones who point the way to the entrance of Christ coming into their lives, and that we not only seek to bring about that reality, we seek to be that reality for others. And so my prayer this day is that as we are waiting and watching, let us think of ourselves as seeking to be a sign of hope for another. And our prayer this day is that we would find ways to do that in our family, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our communities, in our church, and in our world. Because if we continue to be that kind of church and those kind of people, we can know that the message will ring loud and clear that a change is about to come, that the world as it is not the world as it will be, and that there will be a time when light and love will break through and people will come to experience the fullness of what it is to be the kind of community that Christ created us to be. And so, people of God, let us carry that message in the season of Advent and allow that message to resonate through us as it does we know that others will be blessed by what we do and who we are and what we share and how we live. And as we do, we know that we are proclaiming the coming of Christ and all that means for us as people who experience the fullness of life together with Jesus. Let's join together for a word of prayer. Gracious God, we're grateful and thankful that you remind us this day, in the midst of the darkness and despair that we sometimes feel, that there are signs of hope, faint as they might be, all around us. But you turn the equation around on us this day, O God, and remind us that you are calling us to be a sign of hope for another. Our prayer, O God, is that you would enable us to be just this. You have equipped us and called us to this purpose. There are times when we feel like we don't know if there's anything that we can do. We wonder if we have the gifts and the talents to be able to bring about that kind of hope. We wonder if we have within us anything that would enable others to see a sign that would give them a sense of light and promise. But you remind us this day, O God, that you've equipped us for that very purpose. And our prayer this day is that you would enable us to carry that message into the world. And our prayer this day, O God, is that as we walk into the world and see such darkness around us, give to us your spirit that would allow us to resonate and allow us to bring forth a powerful light that comes from within, the light that goes, that works through our words and our actions and gives hope to a hurting world. We know, God, that this task is a great one, but we know as well that you've equipped us not to do it alone, but we do it together in community and do it always with you. Enable us, O God, to carry that message into the world. We pray these things, O God, to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.